Well, good morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 16, and as I've been preparing this message about thankfulness in all things, I got this in the mail yesterday. It's a summons to order, an order to appear for jury service. Just wanted to let you know how thankful I am about that. But I will tell you that I was rebuked as I opened it up. My wife can tell you she was there, and I just threw it on the counter, and I wasn't very happy. And then I started thinking, what are you preaching on tomorrow? Thankfulness in all things. And so I started thinking about what God might do through those weeks that I'll be possibly on a jury duty. And Pastor Dave, I don't know what my schedule is going to be the next couple of weeks, so now you know. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for allowing me the opportunity to speak. Moving a little away from the letter of Jude, and we're going to talk a little bit about Paul and Silas and how they responded in difficult times. Sometimes it's good for us to look past what has happened in our lives today and look back into the future. Sometimes it's a good thing to do to put some perspective in our lives. Each of us has suffered something, and some have suffered greatly, whether it's physical. Some have had some devastating things that have happened in your life. Some emotionally have been just pressed and unfairly abused. Some have had spiritual abuse. Either you've been attacked by the enemy or attacked by your friends. And this message is intended to be a reminder for all of us to be thankful and grateful. That's the theme of the month for our church, is that we need to be a grateful people. And just like I struggled with being thankful for a moment, sometimes we struggle to be thankful because our lives are not all sunshine and rainbows. Think about the first Thanksgiving and how they had a rough winter. And for 3 months, they were losing people like crazy. When I say losing, they were dying. They didn't have proper shelter, proper food. It says that in an article that I was reading, 2 or 3 died in a single day in January and February. How devastating to lose your loved ones, to lose your friends. It's called the winter of death. And they made it through, many of them. And as they prepared and they prayed, God just gave them so much bounty during that season. And so they had so much that they said, we need to give thanks to our God. They even invited their neighbors to come. At the end, there were 4 women, 20 children, and 26 men, 2/3 of what they had when they came. And they were thankful. We would do well to imitate that. Now, to shift gears a little bit, because Paul and Silas were in stocks and bonds, some investment is good, and some investment is best. You know, I wish I could be someone who could pick a winner, you know, look at the stock market and pick that one. I can't even go into the grocery store and pick the right line. This one's moving wrong, and all of a sudden, I get in that line, and what happens? That light starts to blink. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I have very low expectations on my ability to choose investments or shopping lines. I'm better off having someone else do it. But some investment is better. Some investment is good. We sometimes will make choices in our life, and it's a good choice. It's not a bad choice. But sometimes we choose the good when we should choose the better, the best. Everyone has the opportunity to do that. I think about Jim Elliot. He was a missionary to the Alka Indians in South America. And he is quoted as saying, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep, to gain that which you cannot lose. That investment is better. And so as we think about being thankful, I think being thankful, even in tough times, is the best investment rather than a good investment, because where our thankfulness goes is where moth and rust doesn't corrupt. Each one of us, I want you to think back about the time that you were saved. I think that's a good thing to do from time to time. The day that you realized as you read through Scripture and you said, God, you are almighty, you are powerful, you are righteous creator, and I'm not. I deserve judgment, and I confess that to you, and I trust that you've taken care of that through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. Think back on that point. One of our purposes in our church is to give that message and to train people to give that message and to give it in a winsome way where you don't have to open up a book. Sometimes it can just come in a conversation to direct their thoughts toward Jesus. And if there's anyone here today that is not quite sure about where you stand with our Creator God, I'd love to talk to you after the service, if there's any doubt. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. We're going to talk about a story of a great blessing that came out of a great struggle. And it says this, in starting in verse 16, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And she kept doing this for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore their garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were within his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with the entire household that he had believed in God. Our Father, what a fantastic story. What a wonderful account of people who were doing what you wanted them to do, and yet they were struggling. And yet they responded in such a way as to give thanks and glory to you. We pray that as we live our lives, we would live in such a way as to make our thankfulness obvious to all. And we'll thank you in the name of Jesus, who lives forever and ever. Amen. Now, to set this up, as you see in the first part of chapter 16, Paul and Silas were instructed to go to Macedonia. And so they obeyed. They went where they were supposed to go. And they went to the county seat. They went to Philippi. And God does this. Just because we obey him does not mean you're not going to have struggles. You're not going to have trials. You're not going to have problems. And Paul and Silas were walking around, and this girl was prophesying through an evil spirit. She was warning the people. And it says that Paul had the greatest intentions, didn't he? It says he was greatly annoyed by this girl and says, "Be healed." He didn't have a real sweetheart about it. He just healed this little girl. You know, I remember when a missionary would come, he was a missionary to Romania. And God really blessed his ministry so that the men and the women, but mostly the men who were thieves and criminals, they got saved. And what happened was they stopped beating their wives, they stopped stealing, started working, they stopped drinking and carousing, and the police were really happy about that. The community at large was very happy with that, but there were some people who are losing money daily now, and they're not happy about that. Paul and Silas are in this kind of a situation where they did good, and the people are not very happy with them because of how it affects them. The good that they had caused, that they had done, had caused people to be mad at them. And they were thrown into a prison after unjustly being beaten. They were stripped. They were locked up in the center part of the prison, the most secure part, probably the least comfortable. Can you think of a time when you were unjustly accused of something or wrongly punished? How'd you respond to that? I think most of us struggle with little things and big things when we come into this kind of a situation where life comes at us and we don't like it so much. A lot of times we struggle to keep it together. Oftentimes we push back. Many times we fight back. Sometimes we just get bitter about the whole situation. We begin to hate. We begin to look for revenge, and we see Paul and Silas teaching a great lesson here. How did they respond, and how should I respond? Well, we see in Acts chapter 16, 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I want you to focus on those two things. First of all, Paul and Silas, they were obeying God, and God put them in a prison. We're going to learn about why he would do such a thing in a moment. But how Paul and Silas responded was an avenue that God used to save people. Because it says when they were in the middle of this prison, in an uncomfortable situation, locked up unfairly, they were singing praises to God and praying out loud. What a great response to struggle, and how God used that. The difference between their response and how I'm tempted to respond, as you saw with my little letter that I got, the first thing I want to do is I don't want to do what I don't want to do when I don't want to do it. You following me here? You tracking with me? Because I think everyone has this issue. They're singing and praising God. And if you know any theology, our God is all-powerful. He could make it so it didn't happen. I think that a lot of times we're tempted to go in that direction. God, why are you doing this to me? Their thought is, why is God giving us this experience? And how can we use it for his glory? Well, you know, you cross a level of maturity when you can get there quickly. The other thing is, I want you to focus on what the prisoners were doing. These were lost people. And they probably thought these guys were a little nuts. But they were listening. They were listening to what they were saying. And so, how does God get people to hear the gospel? Well, sometimes they could turn on the radio, which they probably won't. And sometimes they could turn on the TV, which they sometimes don't. How does God sometimes get to the very people he wants to hear the gospel? In this particular situation, the jailer was probably many, many times, many hours in that jail. And those prisoners, they're there all the time. And God wanted to save some people. And so he sent his guys there. God We were talking about this in our ABF this morning. God just doesn't do things in a straight line. That's the way we like to plan our lives. We're going to go from this point to this point to this point. That's not how God works. God's zigging and zagging all the time. Sometimes he sends his people to the place where the lost people are. And this is what he did in this particular situation. How often do I miss the opportunity to share the good news of God and praise his name when I'm suffering unjustly? Sometimes as parents or grandparents or friends and neighbors, we talk a good talk when life's going good, when things are coming down the line and we're like, all right, things are great. Praise the Lord. And then some difficult times come, some struggles come, and then we're pouting. It doesn't give people around us the idea that we truly believe. Because God can do whatever he wants to do. He never makes mistakes. They were quick to understand, this is no accident that we're in this prison. The circumstances that they're in now and that I'm in now, believe it or not, they're ordained by God for spiritual growth for me and for others. And we can be all often guilty of praising God when things are good and complaining when things are not. So these prisoners were intrigued that these men had loving tones, that they were giving praise to God in spite of their circumstances. At midnight, they were giving thanks for the opportunity that God had given them. Think to yourself, what is the greatest thing God could ever give you? Is it fame? Is it money? No. The greatest thing God could ever give you is what he gave you in salvation. And if he's never given you anything else, it's too much. And that's what we need to be concentrating on as we go through struggles. You gave me your salvation. Thank you for saving me. Every other gift that he gives us is just icing on top. Salvation cannot be bought or earned. It's given freely. It's a gift far too precious. And Paul and Silas were under the impression that God was good. We can see the way they're responding. They are under the impression that God is a good God and that he deserved praise even when things didn't feel good. The goodness of God, regardless of their present difficulty, how exciting for them that they could see that and they could live that, not only for the benefit of themselves, but for other people. They were thankful for God's work. God has done some great things in the past, and sometimes we can think about that, oh man, I remember 30 years ago, God was really moving, and he was doing this and that. You know that God's working today? Amen? God is doing stuff today. And the best thing about it is he invites you and me to the work. He's not doing it by himself, although he could. He invites you and me to be a part of it. And so God was at work. It just doesn't always look the way we would want it. It doesn't feel the way we would like it to feel. But in Philippians 1:6, it says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. How can this be good? How can this struggle, how could this injustice be good? And Job said it, and I'm kind of reiterating this. He said to his wife, shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? There's going to be good and tough times, evil times come upon us. How will you respond? How do I respond? You see, God called these men in Acts chapter 6 and verse 9. He told them where he wanted to go, and they obeyed. And sometimes we think, if we obey, no problems. Sometimes God calls us to follow him, and it's a rough road. These men were mistreated. These men were beaten. They were held in prison. They were doing exactly what God wanted them to do. And in their humiliation and their suffering and in their pain, they remembered who God was. And they let him know about it. And while they were letting him know about it, they let other people know about it as well. God was going to use this very bad situation to convert some people. People that had seen the miscarriage of justice. People that were witnessing some crazy people that were being thankful even though they were not in a thankful situation. You know, God had prepared them a little bit, though, because we see that Lydia and her family were saved. They saw some blessing in this church, the beginning of the church. And then they saw this young girl be released from her bondage. What an encouragement to them as they sat in the prison. God was doing something, and they had an attitude of gratitude. Paul and Silas had a choice. They could dwell on the goodness of God, or they could dwell on the situation that they're in. You and I have the same choice. Sometimes when things go wrong, we get bogged down. We get stuck. You find yourself in a tight spot? You find yourself or your family in an unjust or uncomfortable situation? Do the words coming out of your mouth and the thoughts that are running through your head, are they mimicking Paul and Silas? And the confidence that God is good and he should be praised no matter how I'm feeling. Sometimes, I'll admit, I have an ungrateful heart. I have to watch that. So I need to be thankful for God's work, even if it costs me something. As they saw it, it didn't make sense. Why am I being mistreated? I'm obeying. It's not turning out the way that we planned it. I'm sure as they were going into Philippi, here, we got to do this and this and this, and none of that happened. In the end, it did, but it didn't happen the way they thought. He called them to go to Macedonia. He was calling them to the town to help the Holy Spirit to be a vehicle for them to be saved. They wanted to give praise to God. A lot of times we think that God's doing something to us when he's actually doing something for us. We need to focus on what God's doing. What is God's work? Not focus on your work. One of the most frustrating places for a Christian to be is when you're doing right and you find yourself up against the wall where there's no wiggle room. At that very moment, we need to start praising and thinking how great and awesome God is. And remember, he's doing work behind the scenes that we can't really see or feel at this time. And we see in the passage, we see Paul and Silas are released, and they did have the magistrates come and apologize to them. They were not necessarily making their lives difficult. They just wanted them to acknowledge a little bit of problem they had with them. You were a little quick to make judgment. None of what happened here in this town would have been probable. Now, God can do whatever he wants to do, but he used these men through their struggle, through their problems, and they would see the power of God and redemption of God. The prisoners would not have seen the power of God had they not responded in such a way. What were Paul and Silas doing? They were being salt. They were being light. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "Be salt, be light." Now, sometimes that is very difficult. And I want to encourage you, even though it is a difficult thing that you might be going through now, I want to encourage you to be thankful, to be grateful, knowing who God is. Do you really believe that God is good? Do you really believe that God is interested in working through you in this world today? Because if you remind yourself about that, the way that you look at things may change a bit. Paul and Silas were salt and light, and look how God used that for an entire town. And we're reading about it today. Famous. They communicated who God was by their singing and praises while in anguish and suffering. How does God sometimes work in a cold and dead heart? Does he not often use people who are in a struggle and they're giving honor and glory to Jesus? You know, we often wonder why God doesn't seem to be working in the lives of people these days. Sometimes we'll look in the past, oh man, God was really working and back in the past. And yet, maybe God doesn't seem to be working in your spheres of influence because you and I are not thankful people. Sometimes I think about myself, and I'm not a grateful person often. I got to check that in my life. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe it's because I am so interested in what I'm doing, and I fail to realize that God's doing something. in spite of how I'm feeling about it. Things most likely would not have happened the way they did if Paul and Silas refused to think about what God might be doing. It's a training that you have to train yourself. It's a maturing that we have to have in our lives. To look past how I feel. We live in a society that everything's about how everybody feels. It's exhausting sometimes to talk to people, isn't it? How refreshing it is to see someone who's moving past how they feel and what they know is true, what they believe is true. Sometimes we get so focused on ourselves and our circumstances, we forget that God is alive. He's real. I'm glad they were not focused on themselves and their circumstances, and so they praised God in spite of the discomfort and injustice, and they got to experience a great earthquake. I can imagine that might have been concerning to them as the prison walls began to shake, thinking, are these walls going to fall on me? They couldn't get outside. They were locked up. Many people were saved. The whole town was influenced. A church was started. And it all happened in spite of the fact that Paul and Silas were beaten and they were stripped. I found it interesting. We're Roman citizens. They didn't go that route. They just were quiet. They were mistreated. God worked in that situation. He worked his power through the difficult situation to bring glory to his son, Jesus Christ. You and I often are unthankful and ungrateful, aren't we? When times get a bit crazy and tough, it's difficult for us to say, God, you're awesome. Thankfulness is obvious to all. And as you live this life, my hope and my desire is that as you walk through difficult times, you're pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ in a good way. You're saying, God, thank you for the opportunity to live under circumstances that are not ideal for your glory. Now, we're entering a very special time of year. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. We're with our families. We're just thankful. You're around each other. You're enjoying each other. And as you see, we have changed our banners there, looking forward to celebrating the Advent, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first coming. And of course, we always think, is today the day that Jesus is going to come back? Jesus came as a baby. God sent his son to deliver us. It's a very opportune time to share the gospel. I want to encourage you to look with the eyes of Jesus as your friends and your neighbors are a little more open, I find, to hear about the name Jesus than they are in the rest of the year. And my prayer is that our church will have the eyes of Christ to look at the lost people in our lives and look for an opportunity to share the gospel. I was just out fishing the other day, and the Lord gave me an opportunity, as he often does, to give glory to him. And I was really hoping that the Lord would open up the door for me to share the gospel, and I'd love to tell you that I did. But he opened up the door for the guy to ask a couple of questions, but when I answered them, he was not interested. And so obviously the Holy Spirit wasn't working, but thank the Lord he gave me the opportunity. I pray that God gives you the opportunity to talk to lost people, that you have his eyes looking toward that, and that you're a thankful person, thankful enough to God that you'll be willing to be bold and share the gospel. We have so much to be thankful for. We live in a land of freedom. Amen? We live in a land of plenty. I don't think there's anyone here today that you don't know that you're going to be able to eat in a few minutes. And as soon as I say amen, you can start thinking about that. We live in a land of justice and law. You don't have to worry that this is an illegal assembly. We live in a country where we're allowed to come and worship. There's a lot of places on earth that's not the case. So you need to be thankful for that. How we respond to the rest of life is going to determine your level of thankfulness. And my encouragement to you, are you thankful? We need to let everyone else know that by the way that we speak and the way that we live our lives. How we respond the rest of our life is going to determine our level of thankfulness. How we respond to life will also determine, too harsh of a word, but how God's going to use your testimony of thankfulness to other people. My prayer for you is that you live a thankful life. Pray with me. Our Father, what a great and awesome God you are. Sometimes you tighten the screws on us, and sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we're just so concerned about how our life is now put in a high-speed wobble. We're doing things that we don't want to do, that we didn't plan to do, and we complain, and we struggle. But Father, there are times when we are going through struggle and we handle it like Paul and Silas, family and my acquaintances, and we shine because you're shining through us. And we look for those days. We thank you, Father, for what you've done. You've given us Jesus. You've forgiven our sins. And then you want us to work in your fields here. And I pray that's exactly what we would do as a church and individuals. We praise you so much for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.